Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, June 27th, 2015, 10 Tammuz, 5775, Chukat, Numbers 19:1 through 22:1, Haftarah, Judges 11:1 through 33, Devar Torah, Holy Cow, by Rabbi Stephen Kushner. It's the most enigmatic mitzvah of all in Torah, the Parah Adumah, the red heifer. If a person comes in contact with a human corpse, he or she must go for ritual cleansing. The defiled individual shall then be sprinkled with a concoction made of the mixture of fresh water, literally living waters, Mayim Chaim, and the ashes of a slaughtered and burned red cow that had absolutely no blemishes nor ever bore a yoke. But here's the paradox. While the mixture of these waters of lustration, Mei Nidah, cleansed the person who had been rendered ritually impure by contact with a corpse, the individuals who burned the cow, made contact with its ashes, and sprinkled the mixture on the defiled person would be rendered impure in the process. In other words, the act of making one person ritually pure makes the purveyor of purity impure. At the core of all this is the notion of tahor and tameh, pure and impure. They are the states of being reflective, I believe, of one's bodily relationship to life and not life. The things that make one impure, tameh, are contact with dead animals and dead humans and a number of different types of creeping things. Skin diseases involving a mortification of the flesh, tzara'at, and contact with similar growths on inanimate objects, menstruation and emissions of semen, and childbirth. None of these states of being are permanent, but they all require purification. With the exception of childbirth, which is another of those biblical enigmas, each of these impurifying things seems to have to do with not life, a condition that would disqualify the individual from participation in the life of the holy. And for ancient Israel, nothing was more central than being eligible to be part of the holy community. To do that, one had to be ritually pure, tahor, that is, of life. Perhaps to our modern sensibilities, these notions of ritual purity and impurity are alien, even alienating. But it is equally possible that our discomfort with such bodily states reflects a disconnection that we would do well to restore, for the Torah seems to be onto fundamental realities of the human condition from which we have distanced ourselves. Let's be honest, death is taboo. In fact, virtually all bodily processes are. Yet our ancestors didn't have any problems with addressing the normal fluctuations of life. On the contrary, they saw the body, guf, and life force, neshama, nefesh, ruach, for what they are, profound mysteries that bind us to God. Our state of being was the essential component in our covenantal relationship with God. Just as the animal brought for sacrifice had to be without blemish, so for us to partake in the life of the covenantal community of holiness, we must be in a state of ritual purity. Our connection with God is a corporate one. We are in this together. Everyone has to be at their best, physically and spiritually. We have to be fully alive. Are we any different today? We might not like to speak of bodily emissions. We might not relate to all the behaviors that accompany the tradition surrounding the ritual purity. But nonetheless, we live our lives with great attentiveness to our physical and emotional and spiritual states of being. We exercise. We diet. We meditate. We know what it feels like to be off. And we do whatever we can to get back on. We just don't necessarily do it within the context of sacred community. But maybe we could learn something from Torah when it comes to this. The rabbis identified this chok, law, as one for which a reasonable understanding is humanly incomprehensible. But it really might not be as elusive as we think. Perhaps there is great wisdom and insight in this seemingly bizarre practice. While we might not be on the lookout for red cows in our local pastures, I think the underlying dynamics of these waters of lustration still speak to us today. I'm not going to get into the debate on whether or not to immunize our children, but I have always been fascinated by how it is that we protect ourselves by injecting the disease into our bodies, how it is that the poison is the cure, how bacteria protect us. And in the same way, I cannot help but see the parallel with the Para Adama, how it is that the ashes of a dead animal make a corpse-defiled person ritually pure, and in the process, how the one doing the purifying becomes impure. But even more important, what is essential to this ritual is that the persons doing the purifying, the one who slaughters the cow, the one who burns the carcass, the one who gathers the ashes, the one who mixes the ashes, and the one who sprinkles the ashes are not priests, but just members of the community. Indeed, Torah is clear. It is a community-centered ritual. In Numbers 19:9, we read, "The waters of lustration shall be kept by and for the community of Israel." Simply put, this process of transitioning from not life back to life is something we do to and for each other. And you know what? We still do it all the time. Every time members of our synagogue go into mourning, the community comes out to take on the mourner's state of not life. We sit with them. We pray with them. We embrace them and hold their hands. And we gently usher them back into life. We bring food to them. We affirm their recitation of Kaddish by saying Amen. Some of us stand with them. Some recite the Kaddish with them. And in so doing, we assume, at least in part, their state of not life. We adjust our daily lives. We accompany them to the cemetery. We surrender our evening activities. We take on their pain. We allow death to enter our state of being. We immerse ourselves in the spiritual waters of life and death. We transform in order to help others transform. We become community. Which brings us back to the cow, the red cow. It has become a character of intense interest and mystery within the Jewish tradition. Some say it was incredibly rare. Some say it wasn't really red, just brown but without any imperfections. Some say it was a symbol of the original sin of the Jewish people, the golden calf. I just think it's so obvious that it was a cow, a maternal life-giving creature whose own life force was surrendered so that the community could restore itself from the impurity of not life. And while I am personally grateful that we have moved on from animal slaughter as a means to ritually find meaning in our lives, I am not willing to lose the meaning our ancestors implicitly understood within the context of these now alien rituals. The great student of religion, Houston Smith, called them forgotten truths. Perhaps we would do well to try and remember them. They touch at the very core of our quest for the sanctification of life. Rabbi Stephen Kushner is concluding his 35th year as the rabbi of Temple Ner Tamid in Bloomfield, New Jersey.